This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn 503 up 4.5. July corn 509.25 up 4.75. September corn 506.75 up 4.25. May soybeans 1476.25 up 13.25. July soybeans 1463.5 up 16.25. August soybeans 1392.25 up 13.25. May wheat 678.75 up 18.5. July wheat 686.75 up 18.5. September wheat 696.25 up 18.25. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Monday's report of the grain prices trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Monday afternoon. Wheat posted substantial gains due to winter's return to the plains, damaging already drought-stressed winter wheat. Corn and soybeans drew strength from wheat and cold, wet weather in the Midwest, delaying planting. In the northern and western part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 5 cents higher at 470 to 498. Soybean bids were 13 cents higher at 1437 to 1470. In the central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 cents higher at 469 to 498. Soybean bids were 13 cents higher at 468 to 1483. Now in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady at 481 to 511. Soybean bids were 13 to 15 cents higher at 1458 to 1488. And wheat bids were 20 to 24 cents higher at 645 to 696. Now on to Illinois soybean processors cash soybean bids. They were 13 to 18 cents higher at 1490 to 1511. With the basis steady to 5 cents higher at 14 to 35 over the May. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $494.10 to $519.10 per ton, with the basis steady at 10, steady to 10 lower at 15 to 40 over the May. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 5 cents higher at $499 to 509, with the basis steady at 4 under to 6 over the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 5 cents higher at 503 to 506, with the basis steady at option to 3 over the May. Soybeans ended 15 cents higher at 1471 to 1484, with the basis 2 higher at 5 under to 8 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 19 cents higher at 662 to 665, with the basis steady at 22 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 5 cents higher at 525 to 526. These elevators raised their soybean prices 13 to 15 cents with quotations of 1489 to 1507. Soft wheat closed 18 to 19 cents higher at 702 to 709, and Milo ended the day 4 cents higher at 521 to 523. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In northern and western Illinois, corn ranged from 462 to 479, and soybeans 1175 to 1203. In the central part of the state, corn was 464 to 479, and soybeans 1180 to 1205. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 456 to 488, and soybeans from 1187 to 1217, and soft wheat was 645 to 675. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 145.35, up 50 cents. June live cattle, 135.90, up 12 cents. August live cattle, 133.92, up 15 cents. April feeder cattle, 180, up 50 cents. May feeder cattle, 180.42, up 35 cents. August feeder cattle, 182.77, up 30 cents. April lean hogs, 124.80, down 12 cents. May lean hogs, 121.67, up $1.07. June lean hogs, 122.65, up $1.42. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 14th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.81 lower in the range of $115.88 to $118, with the weighted average carcass price of $117.36. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $3 lower, with moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 85 to 92, 4 to 5 weights 90 to 94, 5 to 6 weights 93 to 96, and 600 pounds and up 96 to 97. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $81 to $86. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 12,852 head. And now for the report from the Greenville Livestock Auction April Spring Breeding Cattle Sale. They had receipts of 435 head. And starting with bred cows, medium and large second stage, young, were $1,425 to $1,800. Medium and large third stage young were $1,300 to $2,300. Large first stage middle age were $1,170. And large second stage aged were $1,200 to $1,350. Large third stage young were $1,750 to $2,500. And third stage middle age cows were $1,575 to $1,900. Now on to cow calf pairs. Medium and large one young, $1,800 to $3,400. Medium and large one middle aged, $1,800 to $2,450. And medium and large ones aged were $1,500 to $1,975. Now on the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $148.50 to $150, and heifers on a live basis were $145.50. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 213 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $124.41, and that was 35 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $222.52, that was 40 cents higher, with select carcasses at $212.05, that was 41 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 110,000, which compared to 115,000 last week and 121,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 377,000, which compared to 404,000 last week and 412,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. April corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.01. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.02. April corn delivered to Scottville, $4.92. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.93. April and May beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.75. April and May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.64. April wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.73. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $5.01, corn at Scottville is $4.92, beans at Greenfield are $14.75, Beans at Scottville are $14.64, and wheat at Scottville is $6.73. We all know how dangerous working with grain bins can be, which is why the fire district for the Nokomis area now has a rescue tube to assist in grain bin rescues. I spoke with Joe Gasbridge, chief of the Nokomis area fire district, to find out more.
Yes, this tube was donated to our department, and it was donated by Route 16 Grain Cooperative and Cole Brothers.
How important is it for the station to have this in the area?
There were a couple others in the area that were purchased a few years ago by the Farm Bureau, but it's nice to have one in the station because it's one of those things that if you need it, you need to have it available as soon as possible.
And during your career, have you had to assist with grain bin rescues before?
Yes, unfortunately, we have been involved in them in the Nokomis area, and we have also assisted some of the other rural fire departments in the area in actually doing rescues out of bins.
And how are you hoping that this tube helps with everything? Can you kind of give us a rundown on how it works?
If you don't have something like this and you actually have to do the rescue, you've got to somehow or another find a way to isolate the patient when they're in the grain. And so without this tube, you have to kind of devise something or wait for someone to bring one to you. But this tube actually can be disassembled and then reassembled around the trapped individual. Then you can get the grain away from the person and get them out of the bin.
It sounds like it should be a very effective tool.
They are. These things have been marketed for a few years. GSI is the one that built this one, and, you know, being in the grain business, we feel like this is probably one of the best we could have gotten a hold of.
Great. Is there some special training before using it?
There's training on the equipment, and we're also going to implement some training on the Department for Confined Space Rescue, because that's really what you're dealing with when you get inside of one of these grain bins.
All right. Well, this sounds like one of those things that you hope you never have to use it, but when you do need to use it, it's going to be handy to have around.
Yeah, and part of that, too, I think producers in the area need to be aware of how dangerous it actually is when they go inside of a grain bin, either to clean it out or to try to, knock some of the grain off the side of it that's been maybe has dried and has to be removed. It's not a good environment to be in, and these gentlemen, as they're working in it, need to remember they need to harness themselves in and tie themselves off so they don't have this happen. But if something would happen, we're just glad we've got the equipment to kind of go out and assist.
All right. Is there anything else you want to add about this rescue tube or any other safety message you want to give out?
Well, it was a combined effort of Route 16 Grain and Old Brothers and GSI in getting this equipment to us, and we appreciate the efforts of all three of these groups.
Again, that was Joe Gasbridge, chief of the Nokomis Area Fire Protection District. After enjoying a couple of days of nice warm weather, we're back to freeze warnings this evening. While most fields are empty so far, there are still some crops this flip-flopping weather is creating a problem for. I spoke with Gary Forsey of Forsey Winery and Vineyards about how the weather has been affecting the grapevines and how they fared through the polar vortex.
We fared very well. The Traminette were the most susceptible, and we lose 5% of our Traminette every year, so we're not experiencing any more loss than usual. The other varieties, especially like Norton, which is just fabulous around here, I don't think you could hurt them at all. So most of our grapes came through the winter very well.
The grapes may have come through the winter just fine, but with the cold weather lingering for so long and the frigid temperatures that were seen after December, Forsey said pruning of the grapevines had to be delayed.
Yes, this is the latest we've ever pruned. Usually we're pruning right after Christmas, and this year we didn't even begin pruning until the 15th of March.
Once they were able to get out to prune the vines, Forsey was able to better evaluate them.
Normally what we'll do on all varieties except Norton, we'll cut back to two viable buds. And during the winter, you can tell the live wood. I mean, it'll be just grass green. Norton, we have to save about four buds, the smaller clusters, and to get the yield. But like I say, we experienced very, very little dieback. And even on cordons where there was some dieback, we were able to find maybe not two viable buds, but at least one.
The delay in pruning has proven to be a good thing so far. Cold snaps this late would have potentially killed off buds in a normal season, but Forsey said he's not worried about that this year.
I think we're going to be real fine, and now we're out of the woods now with the frost. By delaying pruning, we've postponed bud break at least 2 weeks. So we don't expect to see any bud swell or anything out there for another week or so, and we should be past any killing frost by then. So yes, it looks real good this year.
One thing 4C was apprehensive about was the young vines they have growing, but they proved to be just as sturdy as the older ones.
We thought they would be, especially because all the vines that are going in now, all our new plantings are on rootstock. And we protect that graft union the first year. And we thought, well, with the extreme weather, we were going to have some damage on them, and absolutely zero damage. So we were very fortunate.
4C Winery and Vineyards raises several different varieties of grapes and makes wine on location with their own grapes for the most part, says Gary 4C.
This is the first year, well, last year we had to source some grapes too. We can't raise everything that we need in the winery, so we are sourcing grapes in now.
4C went over how the past year went in terms of crafting the wines.
I think we're going to have, last year was a difficult vintage. There's some awesome wines that have been made. There's also some wines that we're not very happy with. And we have more wines right now than we've ever had in the past. It's because the growing season did not permit me to make the wines I wanted to make. Corot Noir was one, for example. We had a lot of problems with Corot Noir. I did not want, that's a nice dry red for us. I did not want to run the gamble of leaving it on the skin, so we pressed it off like a white grape. And so now we're going to have a Corot Noir blush. I really didn't want it, but the growing season dictated the way we had to handle the grapes. But other than that, we have some awesome white wines. All the white wines came through beautifully.
One of the more popular questions when talking about wine is how you get red, white, and rosé wines. 4C explained how.
The red wines, we leave skin contact. The longer it's on the skin, the deeper the color. White wines, of course, you know, white grapes, the pigmentation isn't there. But to get that bright crimson or deep red color on a red variety, the longer you leave it on the skins, and will ferment on the skins, the more extraction of that, the anthocyanins, the color pigmentation you'll achieve. White wines will be from white grapes, and then if you do handle a red wine like a white wine, no skin contact or minimum skin contact, you'll end up with some pigmentation, so you'll end up with a light blush wine.
With all of the different wines they craft, 4C says he still has a standout favorite and least favorite.
I like dry reds, and Norton is capable of producing a very, very fine dry red if it doesn't need to be rushed. We released we've got three released right now, 2008, 9, and 10, and by far I feel the 08 is the best. It just takes time. Niagara, my least favorite. If I can pick that grape when I want to, I like the wine. I like to pick it when nobody says you should. I like to pick it before 15 bricks. And then I don't get that Welsh's grapefruit flavor. And we have that in the tanks. And that's going to be a nice wine this year. We were able to pick it at 14 bricks.
As he looks ahead into the growing season and developing the perfect grapes to make the best wines, 4C outlined the problems they may encounter this season.
Last year, with all the wet weather, both powdery and downy mildew were problems, and black rot. That's always a problem early spring around here. Now, with the if it stays wet, black rot infestations will occur in about the first 10 inches of growth. So these are the most important sprays that we're putting on right now, the dormant spray, and then up until we get about a foot of growth. We will continue spraying. But after that, we already have the problem out there, and it won't show up until we have clusters that are starting to ripen. And then you find out you have a bad situation. We anticipate a wet spring again this year, so we'll have the same problems with the mildew and the black rot. But sprays should control that.
So although there will still be some weather-induced problems, the vines made it out of the harsh winter, and despite pruning being months late, bud break will only be delayed about 2 weeks, causing only a minor delay in the season. The main takeaway from this year...
You know, grapes are something really unusual. You'll think you're going to be later because bud break is a month late. But come June or July, everything will be caught right back up and we'll be right back on schedule.
Again, that was Gary Forsey with Forsey Winery and Vineyards.